about you? Would you rather have him than to be the king of a vast domain? Or be held in sin's great sway? I'd rather have Jesus.
Yes, we would.
Him a good hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord on this beautiful Sunday morning? What a wonderful day it is on the outside, and it's going to be even prettier in here. Did you enjoy the word of the Lord here last night? Did you appreciate the word of God? Do you appreciate election? Even when you're a bad boy, you're still a son or a daughter of God. Aren't you so glad about it? Aren't you glad that God chose you? Shake hands with somebody and say, you may not realize it, but I've been chosen. Amen. Play some more of that, guys. Thank you. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests this morning. Brother Joe, if you'd get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning on behalf of these prayer requests. I want to pray for Vernon Maggard. He has been diagnosed with cancer. Also, please pray for Sister Teresa Vest. She's having a lot of pain. Sister Janet Lehman sends that in, so let's remember those needs today. Brother Caleb wants us to pray for Ian and Colin this morning. Both are homesick, need healing in their bodies. Let's pray for those children today. Sister Rebecca Horniak sends this in to please pray for Becky Bradshaw and family. Her almost 3-month-old baby is in critical condition. No brain activity is detected. They believe in the power of prayer. So we certainly want to remember those folks, that family, that child, that the Lord would be mindful of them. Brother Carter Lawson sends this in for a young man by the name of Tyler getting ready to enter rehab. Needs deliverance. And let's just pray that God would give him that today. Amen. God's able, isn't he? Sister Megan Hubbard sends this in. I sent in a prayer request for my husband, Mark Hubbard, last week. He was having a lot of pain. We found out it was caused from a slip disc in his lower back that was pressing on a nerve and causing him extreme pain all the way down his leg. We were told from one doctor that surgery was the only way to fix it, to stop the pain. Then another doctor told us that surgery might not be an option for him because of an injury on his spine from many years ago. We were confused on what to do, but then all the prayers started to be answered. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Then all the prayers started to be answered because his body seems to be healing on its own. The pain gets less each day. He started walking around again. So praise God and please continue to pray that he will heal on his own and make a full recovery. Thank you so much, Sister Megan Hubbard. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say God's able. Sister Sylvia Barham sends us in to please pray for the family of Dean Duggar, who passed away last evening. So let's remember that family as we pray that the Lord will be mindful of them. Sister Lisa Davis sends this in to please remember my sister, Laura. She will be having back surgery on April the 26th. She is handicapped and she still lives with my mother. This will be hard on her and very difficult without her mother there. So let's pray that the Lord would just be mindful in that situation and give her healing. We know God's able to do that. Jesse Sacker sends us in to please pray for Brother Kirk Sacker, home very sick this morning, needs healing. Let's remember that. And Sister Jennifer Phillips sends us in to please pray for Sister Boone, not feeling well this morning. So let's remember that prayer request. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need today, something you'd like for this group to pray about, you believe we're serving a prayer answering God? Amen. Do you really believe that? Yes. Honest, do you really believe that? Let's give him one more hand clap of praise this morning as you stand. Brother Joe, God bless you. Let's join our brother in prayer as we pray. Just commit these things unto the Lord. Love this guy right here, don't we? Yes. Amen. Love you, man.
I don't ever say anything when I get up here to pray with a prayer request, but I'd like to wish my mother-in-law a happy birthday this morning. She's 29, I think. She's my mamaw, but she's Ruth Ann Yance to y'all lay people. So if y'all don't know her, I pray God don't hold that against you. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day, Lord, another day that, Lord, you're revealing yourself to us. Lord, as I was listening to the word last night, Lord, and thinking of these requests, Lord, I went home thinking, Lord, the woman with the issue of blood you healed, the leper that came back to thank you, Lord, the man that lay by the pool for 38 years, Lord, how you touched him, you spoke the word to him, they were healed. Lord, I don't believe they ever got the revelation that they were healed before the foundation of the world. I don't believe that was ever revealed to them, Lord. So, Lord, we have no excuse in this age, Lord, not to receive our healing. Lord, you revealed yourself in such a way to this bride of the last age. Lord, the devil cannot stand against one word this bride speaks. because she speaks the word of God, Lord. Lord, these requests have been written, this 3-month-old baby, Lord. Different requests, Lord. I have a friend named Raymond Clark that really needs touch with her heart condition. Lord, Brother Keith Phillips, Lord. I believe you revealed to him, Lord, that his healing was before the foundation of the world. Each request, each hand, Lord, that was raised. Lord, may we not leave here hoping that these needs are met, Lord. May we leave, Lord, with the revelation. As I was telling Brother Terry early, Lord, it's 2020 vision that this has been revealed to me. I see it as clear as day that everything I have need of was given to me before the foundation of the world when my name was written on the book. Lord, may that be true in all our hearts. Lord, we invite you this morning. Lord, anoint the singing. Lord, may we enter to worship, Lord, despite anything that Satan would try to hinder us with. Lord, may we battle past anything, Lord, to enter into worship, Father. Lord, that will bring forth the word. When the word comes forth, Lord, may the speaker have feel such an anointing, Father. Lord, that nothing would hinder the word. Lord, help us to receive everything we have need of, Lord. Not one single person should leave here this morning, Father, wanting of anything. I pray we accept that this morning. Lord, we welcome you. The service is yours now, Lord. We give it to you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord today. If you're a visitor here in this service, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service today, we'll certainly trust that this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song this morning. The hills of home. They're calling us stronger every day that we live here, aren't we? Aren't you glad about it? Aren't you glad you're feeling the pull from another place? You're not here to stay. You're just getting ready to go to where you're called to be. Amen. Brad Horn, good to see you back in the service today from Korea. Made it back home. Thank you for your service. All of our servicemen, thank you. Give them a good hand this morning if you would. He's already started coughing, but they won't do you a lick of good. So we'll just help you the best we can, all right? Let's help Brother Harry sing this song. I love that guy right there, don't you? Amen. Matter of fact, I love our platform. I love our musicians. God bless everyone. Amen. Let's sing about it this morning. The holy hills of heaven, they're calling us today. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
The holy hills of heaven call me to mansions bright across the sea. And crowns are given, and the healed.
You. Let's sing a little bit of our soldier song. I'm a soldier, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. That's the best kind of soldier to be, isn't it? Because you know what? You're fighting for a captain that's never tasted defeat. You're fighting for a leader that don't know what defeat, running, hiding means. He faces every battle head on. And we're following him. And we're winners. Look at somebody and say, I'm a winner. Look at somebody and say, you're a winner too. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise.
I want you to pray it this morning.
Oh, I'm a soldier. Yes, I'm a soldier.
In this army of the Lord.
Oh, I'm a soldier.
This army of the Lord.
I'm a soldier. The Lord, yes, I'm a soldier
in this army of the Lord.
Oh, I'm a soldier
in this army,
yes, soldier
in this army of the Lord.
I'm a soldier in this army of the Lord. If I pray, let me pray
in the army of the Lord.
Oh, if I pray, let me pray
in this army of the Lord.
Let me pray in this army of the Lord. Oh, I'm a soldier
in this army of the Lord.
Oh, I'm a soldier
in this army.
Well, I'm a soldier
in this army of the Lord.
Sing
in the army of the Lord.
Oh, if I sing, let me sing
in this army.
Oh, if I sing, let me sing
in this army of the Lord.
I'm a soldier in this army of the Lord. Well, I'm a soldier
in the army of the Lord.
The Lord. Now if I fight, let me Amen. You can be seated today. You're just singing so good. We just might sing all day long. I don't know. Amen. Is Brother Brandon Green, is he in the service today? Brother Brandon, are you here? There he comes. Let's sing a little bit more of that while he comes and gets ready. Brother David, you come onto the platform and be getting ready to sing. I want you to sing. Been asking Brother David to sing for a long time. He's been battling voice issues, but it's back. And he's going to sing for us this morning. Let's give our singers a nice hand as they come. Brother David, if you come onto the platform. Brother Brandon, if you come on. Well, if I fight, let me fight. Oh, if I fight, let me fight.
In this army.
Oh, if I fight, let me fight.
In the army of the Lord.
Let me fight in this army of the Lord. Oh, I'm a soldier.
In the army of the Lord.
I'm a soldier.
In this army.
Yes, I'm a soldier. Soldier in the army of the Lord.
Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name. When the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name. When the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I'm gonna say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, oh, when sorrows like sea billows roll, oh, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though the trials should come, oh, let this blessed assurance control. Yes, Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin or the bliss of this glory, my sin not in part, but the whole. Yes, it's nailed to the cross. and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Yes, it is well.
Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Verse 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? Verse 22. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it. Let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's read also from the statement in Communion, 1957. You are not saved because you are a good person. You're saved because Christ chose you. No man seeks God, God seeks man. Jesus said, No man can come to me except my Father draws him first. And if we could stop just for a moment and realize the importance of that one thing, that it was God who chose you. Not willing that you should perish, but give to you the opportunity and called you and elected you to be his servant. Why? What more? What, listen to this, could be more precious than that. Amen. Without you having a choice, it would be totally impossible for any man to seek God, for he's by nature, he is a sinner. And he has nothing within him to give a desire to serve God. Well, I guess we can go home now. We've already said quite a bit already, haven't we? Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful today for your abundant mercy and love given to each of us, Lord Jesus. We ask that you would make our hearts fertile ground to be able to open up and receive from your thoughts today. Lord, we're a blessed people in that we have partaken of your grace. Not only grace, but we've partaken of your divine nature. We are thankful. We ask that you would speak to us once again today. We know we're not asking something that's a burden upon you. Because the more we learn about you, the more we understand you love to speak to your children. You love to tell us these things. They've been on your heart since before the foundation of the world. You have longed, as it were, for this hour, for this time. And you could pull us up close to you and whisper to us these secrets. Lord Jesus, we're asking that you just help us and on our hearts, our minds, to be able to perceive. Father, you see this prayer call I'm going to preach with today. You see this need in Brother Baker's body, and I'm asking you, Lord, that you just minister to our brother. Other needs, no doubt, that are here today, and we're thankful for those that you've moved for already. Last night when I got home after the service, Lord, Carol was already a changed person. She said, while the preaching of the word was coming forth, the presence of God came into the living room there and just touched her, Lord. Erica said the same thing had happened to Maria. So we know that you're a living God and you're among us. We thank you, Father. Speak to us today, would you, Lord? In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Let me read this to you as well, an adoption. Oh, but brother, I remember when I was way out yonder one time, something came after me. Amen. And it wasn't because that I wanted to come, but because something come after me. Because before the foundation of the world, God predestinated, hallelujah, that we would be His to His honor and glory. Listen, those who he foreknew, he has what? Called. That's right. Did he call you? Yeah. Why did he call you? Foreknew you. Those who he foreknew, he called. Those who he has called, he has justified. Is that right? And those who he has justified, he has glorified. Amen. That's what the Bible said. That's what the Bible said. That's what the Bible said. Those who he foreknew, he called every generation. Those he called, he has already glorified. What? Now let me read that scripture again. Having predestinated them unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to his own pleasure, to the praises of his glory. Did you get it? To the praises of his glory. That he could set there in the eternal ages that is to roll on, and his children would scream, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. And the angels say, what are they talking about? What are they talking about? So beautifully displayed in the prodigal son. Now, wait a minute. I thought the prodigal son was a backslider. But yet here, Brother Branham likens this parable of the prodigal son to the elected that were lost and come to their self. And then whenever they're in the eternities through these ceaseless ages, worshiping and praising and adoring and saying, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. And the angels are saying, What are they singing about? What are they saying? What are they relating to? And then he says the very next paragraph, so beautifully displayed in the prodigal son. I was lost. This is my son. He was lost and now he's found. He was dead and he's alive. Bring forth the fatted calf, the best robe, a ring, and put on his finger. And no wonder when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy when they seen the plan of salvation. God putting your name on the book before the foundation of the world. Now you imagine the angels of God beholding whatever wonderful displays of creation and whatever things that they must have seen. And yet we have no record at all other than this in Job where they rejoiced over anything other than seeing names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What would cause this angelic host, myriads of created beings and of those which could never fall? No doubt in the categories in which they were made, in cherubims and seraphims and zooms and holy created beings of God, that would cause them to rejoice when they saw your name written. What would have provoked them to carry on in such a way? Glory to God. From this point on, I say I am not responsible for my actions or my behavior. Notice he says when they seen the plan of salvation, God putting your name on the book before the foundation of the world. I love, absolutely love this next paragraph. Why, you say Calvin believes something like that. I didn't believe Calvin. Calvin was a murderer. Calvin put a man to death because he baptized in Jesus' name. He was a rascal, needed to be converted himself. Yes, sir. But what he said about some things, he was right. But what his action, a man that would kill a man for something like that, he said, that's horrible, that's sinful, wherein he abounded toward us. Now, he knew that there would be people that would pick up on the extremism of Calvinism, of course. And they would try to identify what was said about this was totally with Calvin. But I'm going to tell you something. It was Paul who wrote this down before Calvin was ever born. It was the angels who rejoiced in heaven before Calvin was ever brought on the earth. So this precedes Calvinism. Now, what you notice, there are several things in the message itself by which Brother Branham identifies the prodigal son as being classified as the elect seed in type and them coming to the Lord as their Savior. Not just as someone who's come to God and went away from God and they are a backslider. But you'll find the precedent takes its place in the message, how that it is more represented in the very act of redemption. Here is another in Gotel in the Easter message in 1960. Easter means much to us because we have joined in and enjoying the fellowship of his resurrection. For we are once dead in sin and trespasses like the prodigal son. Now notice here again how he brings the parallel between those of us who were dead in sin, not backslidden on God, but dead in sin, like the prodigal son, but now we have found grace. And God has given us, forgiven us of our sins. He has also given us the seal, like he did the father Abraham, to confirm that he was, has accepted us. Father Abraham said he believed God, and he gave him the seal of circumcision as a confirmation that he did believe him. And now, Father, today, we're circumcised by the Holy Ghost. All the things of the world has passed away. We have one objective, serve you. We have one desire, love you and be your disciple. And the saints said, amen. That's exactly our desire. Notice again the 10 virgins. Somebody took my place, and they, out here I was about 18, 20 years old. One day the Holy Spirit, now watch this, I said, who am I? Notice this, who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? Now, whether or not you said it exactly that way, every one of you whose names is written in the book of life, so the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, you begin to ask yourself a similar question. Now, what it was the very same thing happening to you that we'll find this morning took place to the prodigal son when he was down in the pig pen and would have filled himself with the carob pods that he was feeding to the swine. And that was when he came to himself. Something began to deal with him and move him toward thoughts of home. Now, for many of us, we take credit for that. And we think, well, I made up my mind. I'll tell you one thing. I got sick of my old sin. I got tired of this and that and the other. But actually, it was election that moved upon you and not your own good works. Who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? And he said, notice the Holy Spirit, he said, he took your place. You were going there. He took your place. There he is. I said, oh, Lamb of God, oh, Lamb of God, I come. Nothing in my arms I bring. I have nothing to offer you, Lord, just simply to thy cross I cling, and that's all I got. And he took me in. He clothed me like the glory. He clothes me like the father with the prodigal son. And now your brother Ram is liking himself to being lost without God before he had ever made a commitment to the Lord, but he's placing himself in the parabolic symbol of the prodigal son. And the Lord heard him. And when the Lord took him in, he put a robe on him like the prodigal son. He put a new garment upon me, the garment not of mine, his garment of righteousness. Now again, he's likening him being saved to the prodigal son coming to the father and the father petitioning and asking them to bring forth and put the ring on his hand, the shoes on his feet, and the robe around him. And yet Brother Branham is placing himself in this symbol. Why? God has already started to reveal to him by the time this is preached the mystery of redemption that laid in the parable of the prodigal son. That it was more than just a backslider. For you see, in this parable, in these three parables, it is the mystery of redemption that God involves part of it in the lost sheep, part of it in the lost coin, part of it in the lost son. But all three of them are, there's a thread that runs through. Something was lost. Lost on a different basis because it unfolds to us the very mystery of redemption. It belonged to somebody before it was lost. Now, notice this. He says, he took me in, clothed me like the father with a prodigal son, and he put a garment upon me, the garment not of mine, his garment of his righteousness. He put it on me, and a wedding ring upon my finger, that I'll be with the bride that day. Glory be to God. Now the fatted calf has been killed, and we're rejoicing because I once was dead and now I'm alive. Again, he places himself right there in the parable that he was dead. Don't you understand why the Lord is so allowing us to eat such wonderful delicacies of his word? It's a sign you are accepted. It's a sign that the ring has been placed on your head. The killing of the fatted calf came after all the consummation of the other events that we are seated at the seat of the table of the king proves we have met with God's divine approval. And he's giving to us the consummation. These are all steps that leads to the child in total complete reconciliation to the father's love. And then it was consummated in what? Setting down and eating a meal. How blessed
blessed we are to live in this age, and we've been called to the table of the King, and we're not feeding on the failing words of a Kentuckian. We're not feeding on the words of your pastor. We're not feeding on the words of some theologian, but the unfailing body word of the Son of Man, Christ Himself. Notice in the Smyrna church age, we did not become seed by the rebirths. We were seed and therefore were reborn. For only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed is the reason we could be quickened. In non-seed, there is nothing to quicken. Hold this carefully in mind. Now we take the next step. Redeem means to buy back. It restores to the original owner. God by His death, listen to this now, God by His death, the shed blood bought back His own. He bought back the spoken word seed bride. My sheep hear my voice, the word, and they follow me. You always were a sheep. You never were a pig or a dog turned into a sheep. That is impossible, for every kind of life produces the same kind, and there is no change in species. As we were in the thoughts of God and then expressed in flesh, there had to come a day when we would hear His voice, the word, and hearing that voice, become aware of our Father calling us and recognize that we are the sons of God. We heard His voice and cried out, as did the prodigal son. We cried out, as did the prodigal son. We cried out, as did the prodigal son. Save me, O my Father. You mean to tell me you're going to call Him Father before He's your Father? You're a pig, and you're going to call Him Father. You're a goat. You never was a goat. You never was a pig. You just didn't know you wasn't. Now, you're rooted like one, you sounded like one, you acted like one, you talked like one, but you wasn't one. You were caught and imprisoned in that nature, and you were insane. Every sinner today on the face of the earth that is not serving God is insane. Right, they're mad. Exactly right. They are insane. And it takes the Spirit of God to help us. The only people that's left on this earth today in the right mind are those that are serving the Lord. Everybody else is nuts. Well, praise the Lord. The Bible calls it madness. Exactly. Now watch. Then whenever we embrace this, now I wanted to read these things to you before we go into the parable of the prodigal son. So you would be able to get the proper mindset of this last pull or this last part of the mystery of redemption in Luke 15. Now remember, Luke was a physician. Luke is the longest of the four gospels in the New Testament. Luke was not actually around when the Lord Jesus was telling these stories. Luke was not one of the initial 12 disciples. He was not one of the initial followers of the Lord Jesus. Luke actually traveled around with Paul for quite some time and several years. Luke is the one who wrote the Gospel of Luke. He also wrote the book of Acts. And we know that traveling around with Paul, he saw many, many things. So much of this was recalled with his later camaraderie as he had fellowship with John and with Mark, which was there originally, and with Matthew, and hearing other, the stories of the other people. This is why Luke's perspective is a little bit different. But I love the book of Luke myself, because God used Luke to write certain things, and Matthew records the same story, but he doesn't quite tell it in the same way. Now in this, Jesus is unveiling, dealing with the people at present tense, but prophetically, he's setting forth something as well. And that was the whole story of redemption. redemption. The whole thing is God becoming tangible so that he can be worshiped and loved. Now in this, Jesus does not come right out and say, now God is the Father and the Son is you and this is this and this is this. So he just tells it in a story and he leaves it in story form. Now it's been dealt with, of course, and preached through the years. Some of the preaching was right, some of it was wrong. But we believe that God desired for the truth of the story to be conveyed in partial light, no doubt initially. As the church age has come on down, it would be in a little bit more light. But at the sounding of the seventh angel, all the mysteries of God are supposed to be finished. Is that right? So truly then the view of this story and every other story that is necessary for the body change will be revealed in the last day. Now in this, we must understand and focus on the part that it is not our works, it is not our will, it is not our goodness, it is not anything that we could ever do to make ourselves worthy. It is the grace of God. You're saved by grace. You're kept by grace. You're even going to be raptured by grace. It's grace all the way for you, friends. Now watch Luke chapter 15 verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Now we come from the parable of the sheep, and then it leads us into the parable of the lost coin. Now in verse 10, Jesus reiterates to us the same thought that the woman called in her friends and her neighbors, and they rejoiced whenever the coin was found. Now he closes that, and he opens up this parable, which gives the story of redemption in a total different perspective. Now we don't know how the sheep actually felt in the first parable. But of course, the coin cannot feel. So we don't really know the perspective of the sheep or the coin. We don't have an expression of the coin's feeling at all. The coin doesn't have a feeling. We don't have the feeling of the sheep. But now Jesus gives us the final and the third part of the story of redemption. And it's going to be not only from the feeling of the Father, but from the feeling and the desire of the boy himself. In this, Jesus is going to culminate all of the human race and allow the entirety of the human race to be represented in this story. Now keep this in mind, that it's not just one boy in the land of Palestine. Now you realize that from many of the stories of the Lord Jesus, that Jesus would have taken stories and events that would have happened all around them and made the stories into a spiritual symbolism. And no doubt this might have been something similar that could have happened in that day. But the Lord Jesus would take it and add the flair of divinity to it in order to make it more representative of what God wanted him to say about it. So in this, he would take a story and start out in a certain way, and the people standing there, oh yeah, I've heard this before. I've kind of heard that story. I know it was so and so, and they had two boys like that, and they'd done this and that. But Jesus is going to convey in here all of the human race. Now he opens it up this way, and he says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. Now actually, we call this the parable of the prodigal son. But in reality, we could also call it the parable of the forgiving father. Because in reality, there's more about the attributes of the loving forgiveness of the father than there is of the sin and rebellion of this son. Now, we know the Bible tells us that he wasted his living, but the Bible goes into no detail. The Bible does not mention his list of sins. That is not Jesus' focus. Jesus' focus is the power of the Father's love and the position that the son has. So he could have went down and he listed, well, he went with this woman, he drunk this kind of beer, he smoked this kind of cigarette, he done this, this, this. But Jesus culminates it all in this boy's unbelief and his rebellion, because that is not the major focus. Hallelujah. The major focus is the power of the Father's love and the drawing on this boy's heart back to his original position. I'm going to go ahead and say it. One of these days you're going to realize all the horrible, terrible, awful things you've done don't mean no more than that to God. Why? Because that is the lesser. He is the greater. So a certain man had two sons. Now, of course, in the parable, the certain man is God. Now, God is not a man. God is a spirit. But Jesus, in order to convey the story so they would be able to relate to it, we know the Bible in the book of Exodus calls the Lord a man of war, and the Lord is a jealous God. And it relates many different things in the Bible about God being comparative to a man. But God is not actually a man in the sense that we'd understand man. But it brings God to a level of condescension so that man would be able to comprehend. If Jesus would have conveyed this in the sense of the way that the eternal really is, none of us could even comprehend what he was even talking about. So in order to get the story over, he brings it down to human language. He brings God down to a level of condescension to where the humans would be able to hear the story and be able to relate. Now he said a certain man had two sons. Now the two sons have been symbolized, of course, by theologians and church age messengers and on down through the ages as Jews and Gentiles, and we can certainly see it that way, that it would be the Jews and the Gentiles. And no, Jesus was also speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. They could be the elder brother, and the sinners, as they looked at, could have been the younger brother. But I wonder myself if there isn't another higher form of the symbolism that's reflected in these two sons. And that is that in the elder brother and in the younger son, if there's not the symbolism of all of us right here today. I wonder in the elder brother, if we would not look very carefully, that we would be afraid what we might find in there that's very much like us today. Even those of us who are serving the Lord. If you read the elder brother, and I know it's been discussed by theologians and debated, why did the Lord Jesus close out this parable with the story of the elder brother? Because it seems as if though he kind of takes away from the glory and from the rejoicing of this young man being redeemed and brought back into the presence of God. But Jesus knew how to tell the story. He was a good storyteller, I'm telling you. He knew how to tell it, and he knew how to crown the story. You know, we love for stories to all end, and they all lived happily ever after. So why wouldn't Jesus tell about this older brother first and get that sad, difficult part out of the way? Why would he identify the older brother after the redemption of the younger brother? Wonder if Jesus is not trying to convey to us that even when the younger brother becomes converted and becomes new, there will be still a dealing with the older brother that still remains in the family. Now listen to me, don't misunderstand me. It is the older brother. The older brother, Cain, Ishmael, Esau, on and on and on we can go. That has been the troublemaker on down through time. And in many times it has been the younger brother is the one who sought after the birthright. The younger brother who found favor with God. Now if you look very carefully, you'll find that this young brother, when we go over to the end of the story, and let me jump over here to get his view. When we go to the end of the story, we find that this younger brother is very legalistic. We find him as one that, well, I've served you and I've done this and I've done that. But really, true sonship is a dependence upon the headship of the father without attitude. But this man truly has an attitude. I've served you and I've done this and that and the other. He doesn't like the restrictions in the home any more than the prodigal did. But yet he never went away from them. He just learned to comply to the restrictions of the home. But they were not part of who he is. I hope you're listening to what I'm saying. I hope you understand that even after you become truly converted by the Spirit of God, that pretty much you will be dealing with this older brother the rest of your life. This older brother will try to draw you into legalism. He will try to draw you into the fear of serving God. And if you mess up one little time, that older brother of yours will be right there to beat you down. And that younger brother, the seed says, shut up and get off my back. But the older brother is constantly there. He is so unforgiving. He is so, oh my, has hardly no understanding at all. And you can tell that even the older brother, when he relates to the father, that he views the father more as a master instead of a father. He does not even review the father in relationship of who he is. Because because this younger brother is lacking the experience of, can I say, of the new birth, of the regeneration of redemption. So here is the older brother, hanging with me now, that's left in all of us sitting right here this morning who's born again. And whenever the young man in your life, the young man who's converted, that young one who's regenerated by the Spirit of God, you've always got that old one standing there. What are you doing shouting about? What are you doing rejoicing? How come you kill the fatty calf? I've done this and I've done that and I've done that and I've done that. Shut up, older brother. Shut up, older brother. I'm not saved by your works. Don't you understand, some of you that's trying to hold on to your free moral agency? Don't you understand what it is? It's your older brother running his mouth. Oh my goodness. Whoa, that was a mouthful. Now watch verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Now what we see is not sovereignty displayed here. We don't see election or calling or predestination. We see an absolute perfect display of free moral agency. This is what free moral agency leads you to, if it ain't controlled by the Holy Ghost. Now, Jesus is telling this in a way that they would have been able to relate to, remember, according to their customs. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. The typical sinner. I want to drink. I want to run around. I want to smoke. I want to live this way. Now, that's some sinners. Other sinners say, glory to God, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to pay my tithes. And that's another form of sinner. Some of y'all never drunk in your life and you was just as lost as you could be. Some of y'all never, you ain't never had marijuana. You can't even hardly even spell it, much less say it or ever done it. You ain't never been that. When somebody mentions coke, you sing about them kind where you pop a top and drink it. You ain't never been there. You ain't never done that. You ain't never been that way. But some of you was meaner than the devil himself. Born and raised in a message pew and cut your teeth in a message pew and as mean as a serpent. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. So when we talk about degradation and sin, I just always talking about those who are smoking and running around and committing adultery. Some of the worst folks I've ever dealt with in my life is not them type. Well, praise the Lord. Now watch, the son is going to epitomize or reflect all of man placed in the second stage of creation. Bringing the man from Genesis 1, the spirit image which could not fall. Putting that man in the body of the man of Genesis 2 in an image which could fall. Then we see this man as he begins to usurp his self-will. Then he wants his own way. Man wants to be his own master. Master your destiny. Be your full potential. That's the cry of the day. Be everything. Oh, be everything you can be. I don't figure I can do that and really be filled with the Holy Ghost. Who knows what lays in me to be? What I'm going to be is everything God wants me to be, not everything Donnie wants me to be. Because I doubt seriously they'll be the same thing. Well, you're getting quiet on me. Now the son is going to, as I say, epitomize the fallen degeneracy that man and woman fall into when they come into this earth in this desire to be his own master, to control his own destiny, to have his own things. It's evident, Jesus, knowing exactly what he was doing, that Jesus would choose the symbolism of youth. in order to display this proper choice. Most of the time we think of an older son, an older daughter having a little bit more sense. I realize young people know absolutely everything that there is to know, or at least they think they do till they get old enough to realize they didn't hardly know nothing at all. But when they're at that age, when they think they know it all, you can't tell them nothing. There's enough old timers here. I thought at least y'all said, or yeah, or something. Right? Now we realize the human makeup has even made so that there's certain parts of the brain that a teenager can't even access. You don't even access certain parts of your brain. You're about 22 to 25, depending on your makeup and genetic makeup and all that. So the ability to reason and think through like an older person would do, you just can't do it. I don't care how many books you got in your hand, how educated you are, you don't have access to that part of your brain. Well, I'm sorry you didn't know that scientific fact, but it is. Now, whenever this son is being displayed in what? In use. In ignorance of his use. Now, watch. Jesus says, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falls to me. Now, he's not just wanting his portion, but he's actually, by displaying this, and remember, it's hidden, the contents of it, that he's telling his father, I am sick and tired of all these do's and don'ts around this house. Now you tell me if I live here, I've got to make my bed. You tell me if I live here that I can't take my shoes off by the door, and I've got to do this. And if I'm going to live here, pick up after yourself, boy. Respect your mama. Love your mama. Make it a little bit easier on her. Pick up after yourself. I'm sick and tired of it. I can stare as long as you can. I think some boys need to realize this today. What kind of man you think you're going to be in a house if you can't take orders and directions in your own house under your father? Praise the Lord. I'd advise you girls to stay away from any boy who can't be ruled. Because you're fixing to marry yourself a tyrant. He's going to make it hell on earth for you, sis. Watch and see if he takes direction from his mother, his father, even from his pastor. That'll tell you a whole lot about what kind of home you're going to have. Well, preach, Brother Donnie. Now watch, in this Jesus conveys it without saying it and showing us the rebellion that lays in the human nature. He's consummating all the entirety of the human race in this one boy, in the symbolism of his wife. Now he comes to his father and he said, Father, I want that which belongs to me. This is my right. Now here we see, as I said, the display of free moral agency. And we also see the self-centeredness that is about this young man. Now remember, according to the law of that day, there was no law that required the father to give his son his portion before his death. Although many of them did. We know that Abraham, before his departure, that he divided much of his inheritance and he sent the sons away from the heir and he gave Isaac all that he had. And he sent the rest of the sons away from them, the sons of Keturah. So this was absolutely applicable that it could be, but they were not required to be. But now we're talking about this setting is totally different than where the drachma was lost in the house. This was a poor woman. But Jesus chooses to display this as a very, very wealthy home. Let us break into the wealth of this home if we can. So this is a father that has an extreme amount of wealth. So in this family is great estates. In this family is the constellations of the stars. In this family is the display of the universe. In this family is stars without number, worlds without end, and one particular star of them called the blue planet. This sun was placed over this blue planet, and all of it was given to him under his dominion. And yet the sun comes up and said, I want the portion of my goods. I want what's mine. Now notice what he's doing. Again, the display of selfishness. He wants to separate what's his from what's his father's. The goal is no longer the same. The motive is no longer the same. He's now, oh, you're hearing me, church. He wants to be the master of his own destiny. I want to choose. If I want to get up at 10 o'clock in the morning, then that's what I want to do. I don't want nobody hollering at me say, get up, you lazy boy. That rooster's had been up since 4:30. Well, Daddy, in case you don't know it, I ain't no rooster. What time did you get in last night? Oh, 2:33. I don't know, something like that. I've told you over and over again, I am sick of you pointing your finger in my face. Now say it to all you parents, and we'll just pray that your young people don't hear it, but every one of your young ones is going to go through this. They need your leadership to help them. And you got to grow up and mature, parents, and realize you're no longer dealing with a 5 or 6 year old boy when you could swat them on the seat of the britches and send them over in a corner. You're dealing with a 17, 18 year old boy, 16, 17, 18 year old girl. You need wisdom to know how to deal with that little lady because she's becoming a woman. And you could take and swat her a few years back when she was a little bitty thing and say, you get over and shut your mouth and don't you talk to me that way. Might have worked since she was that tall. It ain't going to work when she's up here like this. Well, glory to God. Pour it in, Lord. It takes the Spirit of God for us to know how to deal with our children, especially in this age of Laodicea, when people's rights is the emphasis of the hour. And then our kids will buzz right up in your face. My Lord, some of the things that I hear that kids say to their mom and daddy, I would have been hung up and dried like a piece of jerky on the clothesline if I'd have said that to my mama. If I'd have said some of the things that kids say today to their mom and daddy, you all wouldn't have no pastor named Donnie Reagan because I wouldn't be alive. What's the matter with this boy? In the contents of this long one line, we find the display weary of restraint. Weary of this restraint. I'm sick of you telling me what to do. All the rest of my friends do it. Some of the deacon's kids do. They may go to hell too. You don't want to be like the deacon's kids or the pastor's kids or anybody else's kids if they're off this word. You want to be like a God kid. Deacons, is that true? Is that true, preachers? Weary of restraint, wanting independence. The young man buzzes right up to his father and says, I want my portion of my goods. So the father gives it to him. What is this? Free moral agency. Now remember, sovereignty will reign out. But sometimes it just takes longer for it to get back around. Now, there was a lot for this to happen. Again, Jesus condenses his truth. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his living. Now, of course, God is the Father. Man is the Son. And the man in the Garden of Eden was willing to want his portion. I want mine. Ever since I've been here in this garden, you've told me to do this and do that and the other. I want my own way. God says, well, that's up to you. If that's what you want, take it. So man takes his choice. And he loses all this dominion. Then he's placed outside the garden gate and the gate shut behind him. Now this is what you wanted. This is your portion. It don't equate, does it? You trade all of that for this portion. This is what you want. Now, there are estates involved. According to the law, the firstborn would receive two portions, depending on how many children you had. Now, if you had 7 sons, then you would take all that they had and divide it into 8 parts, because the firstborn gets double. Now, since there were only 2, you would take everything that he's going to divide and you would divide it by 3. The firstborn's going to get 2 parts and the younger son is going to get 1/3. So in this, Jesus condenses the fall and doesn't tell us all that was sold out. Now we look back now and we can realize what all was being cleared and sold. Estates of healing. Estates of peace. Estates of deliverance. Estates of so many things that had to be sold. And then the father comes. Now remember, much of the wealth of the father would have been in property that was not movable. So it was land, it was cattle, it would have been sheep, it would have been she asses and camels. It would have been tangible property that you could not stick in your wallet and take with you. So there would have been a lot of work involved in the fall. I mean, getting the son ready to leave the Garden of Eden. Now watch, then the Bible goes on to say he divided unto them his living. Now his desire to escape control is in motion. You know, there is a delusionary state that an individual goes to when they go to pulling away from God. When their heart is breaking loose from restraint and from the word. And there is a delusionary type of feeling that comes with it that makes them totally convinced they're doing the right thing. And they feel so free. Oh my, they feel such freedom. What is it? It's a delusionary thing that Satan puts on those who's breaking the word. The fall of the younger son actually starts when he petitions for his part separate from the father's portion. Do you see where sin began? Do you see when man... Oh, when I hear young girls and young men or older ones and they, well, you know, I want this and I want to do that. I don't plan on getting out there and getting wild. I don't plan on doing this. But it starts out in a very, very small state right there in the heart. I'm just tired of you telling me what to do. And I'm not leaving the message. I'm not leaving the word. I'm not getting out of church. But it starts right there. I want my independence. That's why folks in this age, in reality, most of them don't have a shepherd, even though they go to church. There's folks that said in this message for years and years and years and went to a church. They really don't have a shepherd. They don't think they need one. And in reality, they're fallen in a fallen condition. They're the older brother. Morally, he's as guilty when he approaches his father on this day, on this basis, as he will be when he comes to himself in a pig pen. Because sin has now raised itself. Where? In self. In self. Self will. I want. I can. I will. I'll be this. I'll be that. I'll. We're talking like the devil when we go to talking about that. Why? Because the essence of sin lays in the self will. Boy, you folks are sure quite on me this morning. Now, if the essence of sin lays in the self-will, who among us can claim to be innocent? And you honestly think it's going to be that's going to bring you back to God? If it wasn't for election, there wouldn't be none of you saved today. Face it, younger son, you ain't nothing but a hog lot resident without the inspiration of God. Oink, oink. Come on, be honest and be faithful to God's word and admit the word is right. If God left you to your own demise, there ain't no telling where you'd be today. Some of you'd be laying at home piled up in the bed because you had a hangover where you was out all night long. Or some of you might be laying dead in a morgue because you shot yourself up with some kind of dope. But why ain't you? Because the grace of God, the mercy of God reached down to you and got a hold of you and saved you when you didn't even want to be saved. You see, his priority is manifested in his demand. He's not asking, Father, would it be okay with you? Would it be according to your will? Would this be all right? I'm becoming a young man. I'm older now. I'm not a boy anymore. Would it be all right with you if I got part of my inheritance and I went over here and I started setting up my own business? Because I'm old enough now, Father. Don't you think that I am? But watch how he comes. He demands. Why? This is his priority. I'll tell you, friends, as a pastor, I've sat right there in that office so many times, and my heart be shattered by people who come in for so-called counsel, and they come in with a demanding, smart-aleck, know-it-all attitude. And me sitting right there and knowing the Lord God could help them if they'd only change their attitude. And I sat there and stutter and stammer and look for words to try to say. And it's like the Holy Ghost will give me nothing. Because they're demanding their rights. Lord Jesus. You see, there's nothing more worthless than a human being who lives for themselves. That's so with a single man, a single woman, a married woman. A preacher, a pastor, a deacon, whoever they are. Well, I want this and I want that. I'm doing whatever. Oh yeah, you're worthless. Don't you show me what you're doing on your job 9 to 5. I want to know what you're doing with your free time. Who do you give that to? Yourself or your wife or your children? Do you help your wife around the house to make things easier for her? Take your children and do something with them so that it'll make a lasting impression on them that they'll never forget. Or you give them $20 and go play with so and so. Go do this, that, the other. That tells me what you really, really are. I don't care what your mouth says. Selfishness. God hates it. Now watch, the story is not derived from a simple home of the poor families, but from a rich family. And the setting now, let's move up to verse 13. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together. Now his father has went through the legal process and he sold properties and cattle and whatever more in order to make an estimate of what his net worth would be. And divide that into thirds and give his son this tangible property that his son can be able to take with him. Now, maybe coming in and a son, well, what's your plan? Well, I thought I might go over here to a far country. Way away from the message. Way over here. Well, of course, you wouldn't want a bunch of sheep tagging along with you, would you? And a bunch of camels and no. I don't want them message looking women because they'll all know where I come from if I take them along. So I want all of my property very compact. Just give it to me in the form of silver maybe? Yeah. Let's do silver. Good idea, son. Since a camel ain't redeemable. So the younger son buys himself a mule, a saddle, buys him some traveling supplies, goes down to the camping store, buys him a really nice sleeping bag. I'm saying it so you'll be able to understand. Now he's on a journey. Now he's so free. He has no goals, no motives, no objectives. You know what's so sad when you find a young man like that that's single? What's even worse is when you find one that way that's married. No goal, no motive, no objective, just going along in life. I don't know why in the world I'm on this morning, but I think I'll stay with it while I'm here. It's all about them. It's all about, I want this, I want that, and I want something else. And man alive, here he goes. He's living the life. Wow, here he heads at him and his wallet is so big, he's walking one-sided because it's got him weighted down with so much silver. He's got an attitude, he's free, he's got his own apartment. Mom and daddy wouldn't let him have a television, now he's got a 95-incher sitting on the wall. Man alive, he's got X-rated stuff, Z-rated stuff, Y-rated stuff, dog-rated stuff. Filth-rated stuff. Every time he come back to his apartment, the rock and roll is a booming because mom and daddy wouldn't let him do that in their house. He's free. And you peek through the blinds and there he is. Yes, sir! This is what I wanted. Man alive, I feel so good. I hope the Holy Ghost
ask him, grabs hold of some of your souls today. If I was you, I wouldn't walk by and listen to that music of that boy initially. I wouldn't look at his wallet if I was you. I'd fast forward the video and go over here and find him in the hog lot, hungry every day of his life. Made a fool out of. But you see, this is the delusion of initially leaving the Word. Casting off all restraints. I'm my own boss now. It feels so good. I come in last night at 2:30 or 3:34. I'm not even sure when it was. I was so high. I was so drunk, I don't even remember. Man, this is cracked. But people are still telling Daddy what I'm doing, so I think I'll go to Atlanta maybe. So he gathers his stuff. He goes by the house and says, Daddy, I don't think this is going to work. Son, don't leave. As long as you're here, I can kind of keep an eye on you. No, it just ain't working, Daddy. I mean, your service is coming by at night. You've got people sitting around the outside, and I know they're talking about me. I read something the other day that somebody said on Facebook about me. I was out late at night, and I know they're telling people, so I just don't think it's going to work. Son, I hate for you to leave this garden. I prepared it just for you. As a matter of fact, son, your body come right out of that spot right over there in the Garden of Eden. But, Dad, it just ain't working. I ain't got my complete freedom. All right. If that's what you want, your free moral agency will certainly lead you down this path. But I want you to know, no matter where you go, what you do, you will always be mine. Yeah, I know. I'll see you. Ain't you going to hug me? You know how they are when they get away from the Lord and they get cold. You get cigarette smoke on them and go drinking a little bit and picking up habits, and they can't look in the eye like they used to could. Okay, Daddy, all right. Well, you know, I'm not much on emotion and everything. I'm not. I'll be seeing you. I can imagine as you stood there. The Father's heart. God, take care of my boy. Imagine when Papa came to the garden that day. Adam! Adam! I went to church, but you wasn't there. Of all the years I've been coming to church, Adam, and this first time you ain't showed up. Well, was you? We had the singing, and I thought maybe you'd come in after the singing, and then we had testimonies, and you never come in, and during the preaching of the word, you wasn't there. Where are you, Adam? God running through the garden, screaming, Adam, where are you? Where are you? I missed you in church today. Adam, where are you? And a scared, trembling voice answers from behind the bush, I'm over here. I was naked, and I hid myself. The boy's going away with one expression, and the father standing there with another. Amen. Not many days after the younger son gathered together, all together, and took his journey into a far country. The state of alienation of the sinner now distances himself farther from the love of his daddy. So he goes to a far country. The younger son had dreamed of enjoying his liberty, his freedom. All the restrictions are now gone and banned. Now he's on his way. And he has this look about him when he comes into the bars and the taverns and all that. You know, I've always felt sorry for folks who backslide, really, and get away from God because they don't belong in the bar and they no longer belong in church. I mean, so they're like a duck out of water. They really don't know where they fit. In time, if they stay out there long enough, they'll begin to modify their talk. And they'll, you know, it must be very strange whenever some of our kids or some of our people will backside and get away from God. And they never said curse words or nothing like that. Or maybe they hadn't said them in years and years. And in order to be part of the crowd and be accepted, they started picking up certain things. And their heart must have smitten them initially. They must have felt terrible when they started saying things and doing certain things. But then in time, they're conscience becomes when the voice that screamed out, don't say that, please don't say that, don't do that. Eventually the conscience becomes so quiet that it no longer warns them when they say or do these horrific things. Imagine him coming into town, into this distant country. He began to look for the places of low morale, places that was sin. Tied his donkey out up front, come in, laid out his wallet. I'm buying drinks for everybody in the house. Boy, when you're doing that, you got a lot of friends. If you can call them type of people friends. But remember, his daddy was still back home. Why didn't his daddy have campaigns all along the way? Why didn't his daddy send people out to the... Where's he going? I believe he's on his way to Rome Mountain. All right, go over to Rome Mountain, set up a tent, have message quotes plastered everywhere. Let's get him. Did you do any good? Well, we done it, but he wouldn't even stop. Oh, no. Which way do you think he's headed? I believe he's headed across the mountain to North Carolina. Somebody said something about Beulah Dean or something. Beulah Dean. All right, go over there, set up a tent revival. Let's have signs and banners all the way. Return back home, come back home, have banners and signs, people standing all the way. This daddy wasn't a denominational guy. This boy must learn the course of free moral agency and its devastation. You're doing good. Thank you for being nice and patient. The world is at his feet. He's young, no doubt handsome, rich, no restraints. My, what in the world, what more could anybody ask for? What'd you do if you was all well since 130 years old? Want to go get drunk? Drunk, what's that? I just got out of bed. You having a fun time? Yeah. Let me get all my meds took and we'll go down and... Can we do it on the front porch? Yeah, let's just go out and party on the front porch. I don't think I can make it down to a local saloon. So he was rich, young, vitality, strength, and no rules. Lord, children, this breaks my heart when I think of the poor people that have pulled away from this message under the delusion of freedom. They can do anything they want to do, say anything they want to say, live however they want to live. No preacher no longer there to say, don't do this, that, and other. Can you imagine when the delusion runs out? Can you imagine when the delusion runs out? And for many of them, they've crossed the line and will never get to come back. They blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Let me find a place here to stop. After the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and wasted his substance with riotous living. And we call this parable, the parable of the prodigal son. The word prodigal is not actually mentioned in the word, but it comes from this word here, wasted, waster. That's where the word prodigal comes from. So it is a waster. So he wasted his substance. Did he intend to do that? No doubt he did not. But why is he wasting it under the guise of fun, freedom? If
He wants to spend $1,000 a night in casinos and gambling. And what? There ain't nobody there to tell him not to do it. If he wants to pay $20 for a bottle of liquor, so what? That's his money. He worked for it. He deserves it. So he thinks. Now he's enjoying the good life. Really? That's the good life? I'm glad I don't want the good life then. You see, we are always heading for trouble when we put things ahead of people. Things ahead of people. And verse 14 says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. Oh, the volumes that Jesus put in this one verse. Sin strips you. But it strips slow. It will rob you of your morality, your decency, your knowledge of God, of God's words and God's ways, God's demands. It'll rob you of pure fellowship. And believe it or not, it'll rob you of pure, true friends. Because true friends will love you whether you got any money or not. They're not suckers just hanging around for you to buy them something. Praise the Lord. Then Jesus says, when he had spent all, isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that the famine was timed exactly when he was broke? Now what do we see? Display of sovereignty. So now we find this young man, which is in such control. Guess what? He's now lost control. Since he can't control the wind, which blows the clouds. He cannot control the barometric pressure, which allows storms to develop. He cannot be able to control the amount of moisture that'll move in the desert and the amount of sunlight that'll penetrate down through the clouds and cause rain to come upon the earth and be able to produce the crops. So guess what? He's out of control again. It couldn't have happened at a worse, a better time. So he's broke. Out of control, no friends, no home, no place to go. But he's still not quite ready to come back to Father's house. It's amazing to me how stubborn we are. We're worse than donkeys. We're way worse than mules. Y'all won't admit to him. I'm going to say, Lord, I say amen for all these people. Mules as a sign of stubbornness. Some Christians I've dealt with are worse than 10,000 mules put in one stable. God nearly has to beat the dumplings out of some of us to get us to submit to his will. But don't worry. If your name is on the books, the angels didn't shout in vain. They will shout again. Let me close. Verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now this isn't a Jewish setting. Notice Jesus doesn't say he joined himself to the church or to saints. But to a spirit, citizen who was reigning in that far distant country. And the word here is so emphatic that it's actually the word glued. This boy glued himself. This man didn't even want him. It's bad when devils don't want your company.
Let's stand. To be continued. Let's read verse 16 and 17 together. He would have vain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Praise God. Was he still a son? But he was lost. He was in the madness of insanity. Notice the scripture doesn't say came to his father. Before he could go back to his daddy, he had to come to himself. Every person in the world today is lost. Not only from God, but from themselves. It was as if though partial insanity had gripped this boy's mind. Reality was no longer what he was looking at. May God help us that we will never take the steps of this young man. Let's bow our heads together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, through this simple story that has been told over and over again, Spurgeon told it and preached it, made the great pulls, many, many come to the altar. Sankey, Finney, Knox, many of those men, no doubt Peter, James, John. It's a story that's been told down through the ages. As many would sit there and hear it, and they would recognize it was them. Oh, Father, I pray today you would help each of us. We know being a story, being a parable, it can have a compound meaning. We believe it holds the mystery of redemption in that we were away from you, we were wayward, because the head of the human race made this choice of selfishness. Oh, sure, he had Eve in mind, we know that. But he also, what he wanted. If he would have come to you, no doubt you would have had a solving resolution to this situation. You would have told him, I will do this, or you can do this. Who knows what you would have said. But he acted on his own. Because he'd found some self-help books on how to master the human will and master your own destiny. And you can be what you want to be. Lord, I don't want to be what I want to be. There ain't no telling what I'd wind up being. I want to be what you want me to be. I've preached long enough. I know how to say certain words, and I know how to work on my ministry and edit things on our services and say certain things where I could be much more accepted in this area. I could be much more accepted as far as a crowd. Why in the world would I want to do that? I want to be what you want me to be. Nothing more, nothing less. Lord, if there's one here today and they're on the verge of approaching their father, both naturally and spiritually, I think I'm just going to go back to Alabama. I'm heading to Louisiana. I'm heading over to Illinois. I'm sick of this and that and the other. I'm tired of it. I pray you'd help us, Lord. What would it have been for me, Lord, if through the hard battles and trials that we've been through here at this church, if I would have said, I'm going back to Kentucky. I'm sick of all this persecution. I'm sick of all this difficulty. I'm tired of it. I'm going back to Kentucky. My family's there. My roots is there. I'm leaving Johnson City. I wonder where I'd be today. I wonder where this church would be today. Help us, I pray, Father. I've got leaving on my mind, all right. But it ain't leaving here going to Kentucky.
It's leaving here or going to heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to be where you want me to be, Lord. If you want me to leave this church and go to Zimbabwe and start one, then start with three. If that's what you want, that's what I'll do. If you want to send me somewhere where there ain't no crowd, no nothing, that's perfectly fine with me. Just lead me. I'll follow you. I want to be what you've ordained me to be, Lord. Help me. May every man, woman, boy, and girl help us in this service today, Father. That we can find that delicate balance of trying to be everything that we can be as a human, yet synchronizing that with everything you want us to be at the same time. It's such a delicate spot. We know we don't want to walk around, well, I ain't going to do this. I can't ever. We know that that's not exactly what you want us to be either. Your prophet tells us Noah was a man with no motives, no objectives, nothing driving him. He just hadn't found the right thing to drive him yet. But once he found the right thing, praise God, he put his heart to it. Help each of us, Lord, to find that delicate balance in our life, to become everything that we can be in our business or whatever more, as long as that does not override your will for our lives. If there's one here today, or one that's streaming this service, one over in Norway, one in Africa, in Sweden, Germany, wherever it'll be today, Lord, I pray the Spirit of God will deal with their heart. May they come to themselves. Something happened to this boy. It was like a switch. It was like that spot of eternal life that rolled over in him. And he came to himself. And all of a sudden he realized, what am I doing? What am I doing here? It's like he woke up out of a nightmare. It's like he come to himself, what am I doing? How did I get here? How did I ever get to this kind of a situation? It ain't in man to do that on his own. It's election that does that. Father God, may you deal with every heart, I pray. Praise God. How many of you Christians want to be in harmony with what God wants for your life? Every one of you Christians. Brother Donnie, should I be a businessman? Should I do this? That ain't up to me to tell you what to do. Go to God who called you and placed you on the earth to be that. But just make sure your goals and your motives are not going to pull you out of fellowship with God. That He will be pleased with you ultimately. I'd rather struggle every week of my existence to pay my bills and live and be in the will of God than I would be filthy rich and have such a stinking attitude and arrogance and smart aleck and know-it-all. Make me a poor man, God. Make me a poor man. Make me a beggar instead of giving me that. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you glad, prodigal sons and daughters used to be, that something got a hold to your heart and you come to yourself? And the madness left your mind. The madness, Brother Jim, the madness, the insanity of sin, the insanity, Brother Dow, of sin left our minds. And all of a sudden, we came to ourselves. To be honest with you, I find myself more and more all the time coming to myself. As a matter of fact, the rapture will be the culmination of me actually coming to myself. Oh, thank God for His grace. But Eric, let's go down to, on mine, it's page 14. It won't be there for you, but the great warrior David, it'll be several pages, maybe just a couple pages from the end there. Brother Bram says, for by one spirit we're placed into the body of Christ positionally. Have you ever tried it out yet? Every man or woman here that's a Christian knows that something's been on you all your life. When you was a child, you longed to serve God. Something beat at your heart. It was God's election. Thank God. You have Abraham's seed when you have the Holy Ghost. That's right. It was through that promise. And now that promise wasn't made or given to you by your own goodness. It was God's election and calling that brought you to it. Nothing you ever done to merit it. You never sought God. God sought after you and give it to you on the basis of sovereign grace. Nothing in the world you could do. Nothing you could do about it. And the church said,
amen.
Praise God. Let's sing together. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. I wasn't a prodigal like some of you. I never drunk. I never smoked. I never done any of that sort of thing. But I was as lost as you were. And I was a prodigal at the age of 12. Just a young boy. So the Lord spared me by His grace of a lot of those things. Does that make me better than you? Of course not. Does that make me more suitable than you? Of course not. I believe God watched over me for His own particular reason and desire. But there's one thing about it. When we stand there that day, I by experience cannot stand there and say, Papa, I smoked and you delivered me. Papa, I drank and you delivered me. In one sense of the word, I'm glad everybody's experience is not like mine. Praise the Lord. Oh, I don't have the scars to deal with that you do, but some of you have a testimony that I don't have. And I have one that you don't have. So what do? We all make up the bouquet of the display of the mercy of God. Some of you in your past have horrendous sins. Things you wouldn't even want nobody to know that you have done. And yet you testify that God can reach down and save you from this and this and this and totally deliver you. Praise be to God. And you'll be right there that day with people like Brother Branham, who was warned by the voice, don't never drink, don't never smoke. But listen, friend, that does not apply to everybody. But you'll be right there that day through eternity saying, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. And the angels, the prophet of God said the angels will hover the earth. Can you imagine myriads of millions, innumerable angels, and they will circle the earth. Of course, this is the eighth day when heaven will come down and embrace the earth, and they will circle the earth with their heads bowed as they hear us singing. Glory to God. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And they will bow their heads as we begin to sing and rejoice. They sang when your name was put on the book. And they sang the night you got saved. But now they can't sing because you're singing the song of the redeemed. Praise God. Let's sing Amazing Grace. And then Harry wants you to sing I Am Redeemed. Think of it. How are you saved today? Why do you love God? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a poor wretch like me. Hallelujah. See, praise God, praise God. Can we raise our hands as we sing it? All of us was out there in that hog lot, whether you was drinking, running around, or sitting in a pew, lost without Him. Praise God.
Been there 10 times.
sun, we've no less day to sing God's praise than when we first began. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise you, God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But now I see.
Hey. Me free, so I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Seems like
Lord Jesus,
all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failure.
Lord God,
wondering,
hallelujah, Lord Jesus,
how long is this gonna last? But then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. Wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed.
I'm redeemed. I'm not who I used to be. Glory to God.
All my life I have been called unworthy.
Lord Jesus, hallelujah.
By the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God,
You're not done with me yet.
Yes, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Let's sing it now. I am redeemed.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus.
You set me free.
To be free.
I shake off these heavy chains.
Heavy chains.
Wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be.
Oh, glory to God. Bless your name, Lord Jesus.
I am redeemed.
Every stain.
I'm not who I used to be.
Glory.
I am redeemed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Excuse me, lady. You there. Who are you? You want to know who I am or who I was? Amen. Well, if you tell me who you was, it might help me know who you is. I was Rahab. Your occupation, ma'am? A harlot. So who is you now? I'm the wife of a prince.
Thank you.
Who are you, lady?
My name is Ruth. Your former place of residence? Moab. I descended from Balaam, the false prophet. But who are you now?
Glory.
I am the wife to the Ancient of Days.
Glory.
Glory to God. I shook off my heavy chains.
Glory.
And I happed upon the field of Boaz. And now I am redeemed. The story could go on with your story and yours and yours and yours. Can you imagine through eternities we sat there through the great brilliant city of God? And we begin to expound of His mercy. Each one relating. Oh my. A preacher friend of mine had a dream about Jesus many years ago. It's always stuck with me. Brother in the Message. He saw us meeting in the rapture. And there's thousands and thousands of us as we was meeting and was all gathering around Jesus. And as we begin to gather around Him and we begin to praise Him and adore Him, it's like Jesus raised up higher and higher. And He's going around in a swirl. And He was going higher. And the more we would praise Him, the higher He would get. And the more we would glorify Him, the higher He would get. And He got up so high, just right above us. And we all begin to bow upon our knees and cast our crowns at His feet. Lord, children, let's not miss that day. Let's not miss that day. There's nothing in this world that's worth missing it for. God bless you. Let's bow our heads together. I'll let you go. Heavenly Father, we love You today. We've been privileged to be at the table of the King, both last night and today. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we love You so much. Forgive me, Lord, for my mistakes, my ignorance, my shortcomings. Lord, sometimes I feel so inadequate to try to bring such word to Your people. I'm so limited in my ability to be able to express it. My gift is so small that sometimes I feel overwhelmed. I feel so ashamed. I just wish I could say it better and put it in a better way. Lord, I pray that You'd take my little feeble effort and make it real to the hearts of Your people. May we be as little Esther was that day when she got her time with the King. May we walk before You, not with worldly adornment, not with worldly achievements of man, but may our adornment be crowned with the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Praise God. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for your word today. May we leave here as sheep do and ruminate and think. I pray this little series would help us to come into closer recognition of who we are. Recognizing our place, Lord. If there's a one here left today in the hog pen, may the service be an instrument by which the Spirit of God would begin to deal with her conscience and help them to come to themselves. May they be changed in the presence of the King. Grant it, Lord. Go with your people. Now, Father, we pray, bring us back at the appointed time, we ask. In Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
amen.
Can you say, it has been good to be in the house of the Lord? One night with the King. Let's sing together One Night with the King as we prepare to go. One night with the King changes everything. I love you, saints. One day in His courts did forever change my course. One moment in His presence, I've never been the same. One night with the King changes everything. God bless you. Let's sing the chorus as we go. You're dismissed. One night with the King changes everything. One day in His courts, oh yes, did forever change my course. One moment in His presence, oh, I've never been the same. One night with the King, it changes. Verse. Hallelujah. Praise God. From the desert to the King, it had been my destiny to be chosen for such a time as this. I didn't know that all my dreams could become realities. Then I saw His face, His love captured me. One night with the King, glory changes. Praise God, praise God. In His courts, it falls.